Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right here, I've got one of my most used tools. I've used this quite a bit, especially over the last year. It's a level for determining if something is flat, right? And you use it this way to determine if something is what's called level, that is, straight horizontally. But this tool also allows you to determine if something is straight vertically. The term for that is plumb. This helps you determine if something is plumb. And I've used this several times, even recently. Just yesterday, Matthew and I were out working on one of our back steps that had busted, and I used this tool as we were fixing that. I've used this, I can't tell you how many times, just as a straight edge to draw a straight line on a piece of wood or something else. But over the last year, I've probably used this level most for hanging pictures. We're still in the process of hanging pictures. I hate hanging pictures. And I'll tell you why. It's because you can get the level right on top of the picture and get the picture perfectly straight on the wall, then you take a step back and it doesn't look right. I had that happen one time specifically. We were trying to hang this big whiteboard calendar thing on the wall, and it's got nail brackets on both top corners. So you have to put two nails in the wall and make sure that they're straight. And so I was using this level to make sure it was straight, and as I eyeballed it, the level was sitting on top, it was perfectly straight. I stepped back and it just looked wrong. And it was at that moment that I realized the problem was not with the level. The problem was not with the item I was hanging on the wall. The problem is our house is not level and plumb. Right. It's an older house. I should have expected that. But I learned in that moment that I had a choice to make as I was hanging this object. What is going to be my standard that helps me to determine what is straight and right and true? I needed to make a choice about that. Was I going to use this level to hang the pictures perfectly level? If I did that, that meant that it was going to look distorted and crooked based on the house around it. If I chose to ignore the level and just hang the picture so it looked right, the picture would look right based on the surroundings, but it wouldn't be truly level. The choice I had to make in that trivial matter of just hanging pictures on the wall, but that's a choice that you and I have to make each and every day as we live our lives. What is our standard for how we should live? What is the standard for what is straight and right and true? Do we use the true level of God's word to determine what is straight and right and true? And if we do that, our lives are going to look distorted and crooked based on the world around us. But on the other hand, if we choose to live our lives so that it conforms and looks right to the world around us, it won't be truly level. It won't be straight and right and true according to God's standards. So this is exactly the issue that is being raised in our Old Testament reading by the prophet Amos from Amos chapter 7. And especially in the first three verses of the reading, verses 7 through 9, this is exactly the issue. You may not know a lot about Amos. Amos was a prophet. He's one of the minor prophets. His book is fairly short at the end of the Old Testament. He was actually just a regular guy, a shepherd. He lived in Judah and kind of did his thing. He wasn't an important guy. He didn't come from an important family. But one day, God called him to leave his home, to leave his nation of Judah, and to go north to their brothers and sisters in Israel. And Amos was called to be a prophet there, to speak God's word. And so we get to hear in our Old Testament reading one of Amos's visions that he then proclaims to the people in Israel. And the vision, as you heard, was of the Lord standing next to a wall. And in the Lord's hand is a plumb line. Now, a plumb line has nothing to do with the fruit. It has nothing to do with a toilet either. A plumb line is really a precursor to this tool right here. It was just simply a string that had a weight tied to the end of it, and you would hold it up, and that weight would cause the string to be straight, plumb. And so you could hold that string up to a wall or another vertical object to check and make sure that it was straight. Again, much like a level or a plumb device does today. So with this in mind, let me read verses 8 and 9 of the Old Testament reading again. The Lord said, "Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." There's a few things going on in this reading. But what the Lord is proclaiming is that he is going to take a plumb device, a plumb line in this case, and metaphorically hold that up to the people of Israel to determine, are their lives being lived in accord with his will? Are their lives straight and right and true? Now, the Lord, of course, already knows the answer. The answer is no. They have not been faithful to his word. And so the Lord proclaims what is going to happen as a result: exile and death, because the people have not used the Lord's standards to live their lives. They have started to conform to the world around them. And so the message of the plumb line in our Old Testament reading for today is that Israel's life has become so crooked, so distorted, that they no longer are able to receive pardon and relief from the Lord. And there's two major problems that the Lord identifies in this text. The first is in regards to Israel's worship. Their worship is all wrong. And the other issue is in regards to their leaders. Both of them have turned away from that true level of God's word and have begun to do what seems right in their own eyes. So in regards to their worship, there are two problems again that are mentioned. First is what's known in biblical terms as the high places. These were cultic sites that were set up in various places in Israel to worship idols, to worship in a way that was completely contrary to what the Lord had commanded. That is exclusive worship of him. And so the Lord says those cultic high places will be destroyed. But there's also a problem with Israel's worship in their own sanctuaries. Even when they are worshiping the Lord, they're not worshiping the way that he has commanded them to worship. They have neglected and forgotten his word, his true leveling device, and again, have begun to do what seems right in their own eyes, what seems right based on the world around them. And so Amos's message, quite simply, is this: punishment is coming. Punishment comes for all those who fail to live up to God's standards. And frankly, that even includes you and I. We don't always use God's word to check our lives. And so punishment is deserved by all who do just that. Exile and death, specifically, is what the Lord says is coming. And the reading, it ends in a fairly depressing way, because this is the end of Amos's message for Israel. Punishment is coming. But the good news, as you and I heard in the epistle reading for today, is that is not the end of our story. Because our story continues in Jesus, who came to this earth to suffer the ultimate exile and death for Israel and for us, so that our sins might be taken away, that we might be restored in our relationship with God, and that we might be given His Spirit and enabled once again to live a life as God's people. So I suppose the question now is, what's next? What do we do? How do we live? Does Jesus' death on the cross mean that we no longer have to worry about God's standards, that we no longer have to pay attention to His word to tell us what is straight and right and true? Well, of course not. So what do we do then? Well, the call for you and I today is to take up the metaphorical plumb line of God's word and to check ourselves against God's standards. Now, admittedly, that might seem like a bit of a daunting task. The Bible's a thick book. There's a lot of commands in there. But let's just start simply. There's no better place to begin to check yourself against God's standards than quite simply the Ten Commandments. See, in the Ten Commandments, God has given us a simple, basic guide for how to live as His people. And so what I would invite you to do as you consider your own life and how you measure up to the standards the Lord has laid out for you is to just take a small catechism. Maybe it's a small one like this. Maybe you have a different one at home. Maybe you just want to use the small catechism that's in the front of the hymnal. And turn to the beginning section where Luther discusses the Ten Commandments. And I would just encourage you, pick a commandment. You could do one every day. You could pick them at random. For example, let's look at the fifth commandment. Just simply read the commandment and Luther's explanation. The fifth commandment says this: you shall not murder. What does this mean? Answer: we should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. There's a lot there. There's a lot to be discussed. There's a lot to be considered in your own life. But just pick one small portion of that. Maybe the command that Luther discusses to help and support our neighbors. And the question that I want you to ask yourself then is this: as a forgiven, renewed follower of Jesus, how can I be better at this? It's easy to look at that command and to examine our own lives and start getting depressed at our failures and our sins. But remember, Jesus has forgiven you. Don't look backwards. Look forwards. How can I move forward and be better in this area? How can I be better, for example, at helping my next door neighbor who might need some help with yard work or something of the sort? What about my own family members? How can I serve their needs? What about my coworkers or classmates? But don't stop there. Don't stop with just the thought. Don't even stop with just the action. I want to encourage you as well to end by praying. To say, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit who's within me, help me to consider the needs of my neighbors, my family members, my co-workers, my classmates. Help me to meet them with your love so that I might better live my life in accord with your will and standards. In the name of Jesus, amen.